Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Live with you on this Thursday, Lee Kelly is in studio with me. Lots to get to. Game day for IU tonight. Big game. And I tell you what, Lee, this one worries me a little bit for the Hoosiers. They're playing great basketball. They've primarily been playing great basketball at home. I know the Iowa game was on the road, and that was really, I don't think, much fault of the Hoosiers, that late three-point barrage by Bohannon that sunk them in Iowa City. But tonight, it's at Illinois, and they started off the season really as one of the bottom feeders in the Big Ten Conference. They've improved. Their defense is really good, as I've looked up a little more about Illinois the last day or so in anticipation of this game tonight. I tell you what, I think that IU, Rutgers at home doesn't worry me, and I guess maybe that's a scary thing to say with this team and where they've been at this season here in the last couple months. But this game tonight, if Indiana can win this one, that is really big stuff heading into their final conference game of the year on Sunday.
I agree, and it's kind of been a roller coaster ride for the Indiana fans this season. And started off great. The Hoosier fans were all excited. Then the losing streak came about, and everybody had accepted the fact IU wasn't going to be in the NCAA tournament. And then all of a sudden now they've won a few games, and now the talk is again, well, maybe we could make it into that tournament. So I feel sorry for the Indiana fans, and I'm one of them, but it's been such a roller coaster ride this season.
Yeah, no question. And here's we're going to talk more about Illinois, obviously, in the hour, but here's an example of what's a little concerning as they head into the game. Number one, it's on the road, and we know road games in the Big Ten Conference are not always favorable for the team traveling in, but Big Ten teams, this is in the conference season, have committed turnovers, errors on 21.4% of their possessions against Illinois. That's the highest turnover percentage in conference play. So the Illini can play some defense. They can cause some havoc for you with the basketball. And again, this Indiana team has been prone to turnovers. The guard play at times has been suspect. If you remember, and this is something I had planned to talk about here a little later, but I'll bring it up now. If you remember when Indiana and Illinois played the first time around, Romeo Langford had the ball in his hands a lot more than what he has in many other games, and that's been a constant gripe and complaint from fans this season. As Romeo's over in the corner, he's not even really moving. He never gets the ball. Devontae Green doesn't pass it to him, whatever. That's been a constant theme. But if you remember, that was the game, or one of the games early on, I believe, when Robert Phinisee was out with a pretty long-standing concussion of a couple weeks or so that kept him away from things. And Romeo, that game, had the ball a lot at the point or at the top and seemed to really be able to create and get to the basket. I think he had 28 points in that game. And that was early in January where you thought, okay, this team is going to continue as they did in the non-conference schedule. And Romeo, maybe he's even going to step his game up another level with those 28 points in that Big Ten game. And, of course, a lot has happened since then. The team has fallen apart at times, long losing streaks. And even Romeo, he's as solid as he's been and as projected as he is for the NBA draft, he's had some games where he didn't reach double figures or wasn't – and I don't believe ever got back up close to that 28-point mark since then. So it's going to be interesting to see the approach from Indiana tonight. I'd like to see Romeo have the ball in his hands a little bit more at the start or early in some of the possessions and see if he can't replicate what happened last time, even though Robert Phinisee's back and playing pretty well.
And to my knowledge, I've never had a concussion. if I did, I was never treated for it. So maybe that's
maybe
what's
that's
wrong
the
today.
Problem. We've solved that
it
today.
Could
Lee.
Be, could very well be. But I'm just wondering if Fennessy, he was out 2 weeks, but really has the real Robert Fennessy that we knew from before the concussion, is he finally coming back around to the way he was right. earlier in the season? And I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Like I said, to my knowledge, I haven't had a concussion, but I just wonder about that and a lot of other things going on this year. But let me ask you, and I should know this, but I don't. Is Illinois in the running for a tournament position?
That's a good question. I think that they are close, and I may be completely wrong there. You've caught me off guard a little bit with that. I'll have to check it out. But I know one thing, where they were at earlier in the year is a lot different than where they're at now. We'll talk to Alex more about that in the next segment. But definitely a team that's gotten better, and defense has driven a lot of their successes this year. And so we'll see. I think tonight will be very tough. I think it'll be a very close game. I would be surprised if Indiana won by more than a small margin. And I think getting a win at Assembly Hall in Illinois against a team that is so good on defense and can cause so much havoc and problems would be very, very big, not just for the NCAA tournament hopes of the Hoosiers, which they've got to win, I think, tonight, and they've got to win the Rutgers game and maybe a couple in the Big Ten tournament to solidify this real opportunity to get in the dance. But tonight is so huge to me for confidence, because they're playing well. They should come in with confidence. If they can win tonight on the road against a team that's known to cause some problems, even for the top-tier Big Ten teams, this sends them into that Rutgers game to close things out at home, friendly confines back in Bloomington. You got to feel good about that. This sends them into the Big Ten tournament, really, with the opportunity to not just two in a row here if they win tonight in Rutgers, but the two before that, a four-game streak into the Big Ten tournament. Indiana's historically not performed well in the Big Ten tournament, but you know what? It's been a crazy season. Maybe this is the team that does perform well in the Big Ten tournament. We know they've got some talent and some players to play with anybody in the conference. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, there are a lot of things about this team that at times you just shake your head about. I know you and I have done that sitting across from each other on Thursdays during this show. But I just have a feeling that they're coming together a little bit. And, I mean, it's not, you know, it's what you all see, anybody listening today. When you watch them, they look different. They act different. There's still some silly mistakes, and there's still some things you question, but they do look like a team that has gotten over some things. Whatever those things are, I'm still convinced it's not just on the floor as well. You hear a lot of rumors. I don't really operate in rumors, but you've got to believe there are some things that did or have happened off the floor. But they seem to be getting through that. So I think tonight they'll have to come out and battle. If they came out with one of the lackluster efforts like we saw at Minnesota, this could be an ugly game tonight. That's how Illinois can play, how good they can be. So we'll see. But I think tonight will be very interesting. And if they can continue the momentum they've had and get a win on the road tonight, I think this Indiana team might just make the tournament. I really do. I think they'll have the confidence and do what it takes.
I hope so. I mean, as an Indiana fan, that would be very, very nice to see them in the NCAA tournament. I have no misgivings of thinking they're going to be a Final Four, an Elite Eight, whatever. But it would be nice in his second year for Indiana to make it to the tournament. And to me, watching IU right now, it looks like the confidence is beginning to come back a little bit. They just seem to feel better, as you mentioned earlier, about the way they're playing. And I think confidence is a major thing for any player in any team, whether it be at the elementary, middle school, college level, whatever it might be. So hopefully that confidence will carry over tonight, and they will get through Illinois with a big win tonight.
Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Hoosier Headlines, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at the game tonight. A little note on Keon Brooks' recruitment, which is coming to an end here a week from tomorrow. We'll know where Keon Brooks is headed, and a couple other notes as well in our headline segment presented by Hoopsters. Segment two, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join Lee and I for a preview on tonight's IU at Illinois game. And, of course, we'll talk, as we have all week long, about the Hoosiers and their NCAA chances. And it's been interesting to hear the different, I call them IU experts, that we have on this show each day. It's been interesting to hear their take on what exactly Indiana needs to do to make its way into the dance. And I saw today, Now Indiana's made its discussion their way into the first four out in a couple of the projections out there as far as teams that are really close to getting in, but right now maybe wouldn't be. Others have them in. It's going to be interesting to see. Every game obviously counts for this Indiana team. There really is not much room at all for any error as far as losses go the rest of the way out. So we'll talk some about that with Alex. And then later, Lee and I always recap high school basketball. What a great time to do it. Our final segment today will get you all set for the regional pairings on Saturday. We'll take a look at some of the big performers over the last week or so of high school basketball. We're going to have a player of the week, as we did every week in the regular season. We'll continue that through the postseason. The sectional tournaments are now in the book. So a lot of discussion, a lot of preview, a lot of breakdown on some of the games this weekend. Some really exciting opportunities out there for Jeffersonville and for, of course, Silver Creek as well in 4A and 3A respectively to make some runs and maybe get out of this regional weekend, and we'll talk about it later in the program today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Lee, we've talked a lot already about tonight's game. On the road, Illinois, good defensive team. Romeo Langford, will he have the ball in his hands more? He had 28 points when the teams met a few weeks ago, or actually, I guess a couple months ago almost. Indiana won that first matchup 73-65. Now, that was at Assembly Hall, obviously, in Bloomington. The Fighting Illini, 11-18 overall. They are 7-11 in Big Ten play. And tonight is an 8 o'clock tip-off on Fox Sports 1. But, of course, we'll have pregame coverage with Don Fisher beginning at 7 o'clock. The tip-off is at 8 o'clock. You mentioned the health of Robert Phinisee. And I think one of the keys to this game is tonight, and really a key to why the team is playing better and healthy and ready to go for the remainder of the season in the Big Ten tournament, is they're as healthy as they've been, honestly. I mean, you talk about, do we know how healthy Robert Phinisee is compared to what he was before the concussion? No, but this team has Race Thompson back. Deron Davis no longer has the ankle lower leg injury that sidelined him for a while. He even had a little cold, a little sickness last week where he missed and played some restricted minutes, but he's back obviously as well. This is the healthiest, and I say this, everyone listening should not, probably knock on wood because of the struggles that Indiana and really historically has had with injuries over the last number of seasons. But Indiana going into tonight's game, at least from what we know as of this hour, is really about as healthy as they have been this season.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I think they're playing that way, getting a little more being able to look down the bench and see players who are available to go into the game rather than players dressed in sweats or street clothes that just aren't available to you. So the one player that I don't know about, and I haven't really looked that deep, Zach McRoberts, who is a gamer, who's competitive beyond belief, has had his share of injuries this year, and that's really a shame because that young man would run through a wall for IU, and he just hasn't been able to stay on the floor because of injuries. I think a major difference would have been if he was on the floor, not because he's the greatest player ever at IU, but because he gives you everything he's got when he's out there. He just hasn't been available.
He may not be the greatest player ever at IU, but he's one of the greatest at coming up with a loose ball and finding a way to get it into his or keep it into his possession or his team's possession. I'll say really unbelievable. But the team is healthy as they maybe have been. And I think another storyline when you think about tonight's game, and this might be outside of Romeo, which always is, I think, for a lot of people where we're at in the state, you know, it's kind of what you really focus on with the IU game. You want to see him do well. You're proud of him. You know he's got an opportunity to play professionally here in the near future. But in addition to seeing, can Romeo have another big game? Can he attack the defense the way he did the first time out? Does he get the ball more in his hands tonight? I'm really curious to see what Justin Smith does, because all season long, I've watched him be athletic. I've watched him at times make some great moves, and you think, gosh, if he could ever put it all together, he could be quite a basketball player. He clearly has a body for the D1 level, for the Big Ten level, for the physicality of the game, but can he ever put it together? And he finally did. He didn't just have a good rebounding game or a good defensive game or hit a couple buckets in a stretch to help Indiana. From start to finish, he did a ton for the team, including a career-high 24 points. So I think another storyline as we kind of break things down tonight and think about what could happen, what might happen, for me, is going to be, does Justin Smith, we know he's going to get minutes. We know he's going to do some good things for the team. I feel confident in saying that. Is he going to, and I don't expect him to score 24 points or really come even close to it, but can he become more of a steady scoring threat from this team than what he's been? Can he make, you know, get 12, 14 points a game? Is that something in his repertoire that he can do on a regular basis? So that's something in addition to everything that we've already listed that I think will be interesting to see tonight. And if he can do that, Indiana with another double-digit score in some consistent basis, that's a huge lift in this final week or so of regular season play, and, of course, the conference tournament ahead. It's going to take some big performances, not just from Romeo, not just from Juwan, but if Indiana's going to make some noise in Chicago next week at the Big Ten tournament, it's going to take another score or two consistently, because Indiana's going to really, if they play their way out of that first day of play where they play a 12, 13, 14 seed team, if they play their way into a 10 seed or higher in the Big Ten tournament, right out of the gate, you're going to open up with somebody good. I mean, even Penn State, who probably will play on the first day. I mean, they're a dangerous team. I'm not sure I'd want to play them. So it's going to be interesting. And Justin Smith is just another of a many storylines that we have to follow in this game tonight and see what happens.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And when you watch the young man play, you obviously can tell he has athletic ability, just hasn't been able to put it together. That's why the game the other day was such fun to watch.
One recruiting note as we continue our headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Keon Brooks, we all know that he's going to make his college decision 1 week from tomorrow on Friday, March 15th, 8 o'clock, up in Fort Wayne at St. Paul's Lutheran School. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. There's a lot of people holding out hope that Keon Brooks is going to pick Indiana. The announcement apparently is open to the public. I've not seen any sort of official release from the family on that, but that's the word going around, that it is open to the public. I know some people are planning to go. It's going to be broadcast live, streaming live on the internet for those that want to stay at home and watch it as well. But a lot of the guys out there, a lot of the recruiting analysts, people that follow this stuff, switching their picks, whether it be in the crystal ball on 247 Sports or, you know, Greg Doyle Tuesday saying on this program that he had talked with another Division I assistant coach who was not connected to either school or anyone in the recruitment, but, you know, the word out there is that he's going to go to Kentucky. So I think there's reason for concern because there's a lot of buzz about Kentucky. I'm not ready to write off Indiana just yet, but I do sense a little bit of panic from IU fans that after getting Romeo and then getting Trace Jackson Davis, two of the bigger names, if not the biggest names in the last couple of years, there's really some concern they may not get Keon Brooks. We'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, and I'm not as high on Keon Brooks as a lot of other people, but I've only seen him play a very limited amount of time. I don't want to see anybody from Indiana go to Kentucky, so that's a start right there. But I think it would be good for him to pick IU. I think it would be good for Archie to continue that trend of Romeo and Trace Jackson Davis and so on. But I don't think it will wreck IU if he doesn't go. I think Archie will go find somebody else, whether it be a grad transfer, whether it be somebody else. Is Keon a one and done, in your opinion, I guess is one of my questions.
I think that's really hard to say. I think that he probably has aspirations of that, but is he truly that? Is he truly at that level? I think with Romeo, we kind of knew going into it that he was one and done. I mean, there were enough people had said it that know a lot more about it than you and I. You have a good feel for that. But with Keon, it's almost a sense to me, need to see him in action. And I'm sure that there's people out there that have followed him a lot closer than us that are more qualified to say right now if they project him as a one-and-done type player. And maybe that's the sell from Kentucky, that they can help him get there. Who knows? I don't know that for a fact. But it is going to be interesting to see. Archie Miller has had such success with recruiting in the state. And, of course, Romeo Langford, followed up by Trace Jackson Davis. He's got other players from the state like Robert Fennessy and Demezie Anderson and even Armand Franklin in the 2019 class. If Indiana doesn't get Keon Brooks, to me the narrative in recruiting really hasn't changed that much. He still dominated the boundaries within the state of Indiana, and that's what he said he was going to try to do. And if there's one thing you've got to be high on Archie Miller about right now, no matter what the win-loss total is, no matter if the team gets in the NCAA tournament or not, it's his recruiting ability. He has really done an A-plus job. Keon Brooks or not, he's really done to me an A-plus job recruiting-wise to get what he's got into the program at Indiana. One other recruiting note, and then I've got a football note before we get out of here in the first segment. Sean East getting not an offer, but getting interest, according to his prep schools coach at Combine Academy just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, from Butler. It's not uncommon to see that there were a number of coaches at Sean's games playing for this prep school. They're playing a great schedule going against IMG and Hargrave Military and some of the great schools out there that include fifth-year players. But of all the schools that have watched him, of all the schools his coach has said are maybe contacting him about Sean, Butler, the one I think that gets people excited the most because it's back in the Midwest. It's a high major program. It's not a mid-major that might be great, but just a little bit unknown to us based on who it is. But Butler, wow, can you imagine Sean East 1 year out of high school going the prep school route and finding a way back to play for a program like Butler? Again, no offer. Don't know how much the interest is. It could have been a simple phone call to the coach. Hey, we like that East kid. What's his deal? Or, you know, who's he hearing from? It may have been very simple, or it may be just the beginning of a recruiting process. Who knows? But very cool to hear that. It's very cool to see that Sean's continuing to do really good things. You know, sometimes kids go to prep schools a fifth year, and you kind of lose track of them. You don't really know what's going on. Their teams maybe don't play a great schedule. Sometimes prep schools don't turn out to be what they sell the kid they're going to be. This one seems pretty good. They're playing a great national schedule. Sean's getting a lot of looks from schools. He's had a ton of mid-major schools contact him and his coach, which is a really good thing. Maybe he'll break through to a high major like Butler.
Yeah, and I put that on with his picture that somebody had posted yesterday with the interest from Butler and mentioned that maybe Archie would want to take a look because a lot of New Albany fans thought Archie should have taken a look last year. I'm not good enough at judging talent to tell you if that would work or not. But a lot of New Albany fans really excited to see Sean mentioned with Butler. They would love to see him come back to Indiana, play at Butler or wherever where they could kind of keep track of him. And I'm one of those. I'm a big Sean East fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's one more quick note. Coach Allen, IU football, gets their first commitment in the class of 2020. I think this is worth noting, especially because it's Ty Wise. He's a linebacker from Carmel High School. Great to see in-state kids. We were talking about it from a basketball perspective just a few moments ago. Great to see in-state kids as well. Staying with in-state schools, IU and otherwise as well. So a big commitment in the 2020 class to open up the commitments in that class for IU football. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Thursday show, Lee Kelly is in studio with me. We've got Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall as our guest on this game day. Indiana getting ready to play Illinois tonight. 8 o'clock tip-off. Pre-game coverage here on the Big X with Don Fisher begins at 7 o'clock tonight. And, of course, the game at 8. Alex, I think it's a good game, a tough game in store for the Hoosiers tonight. This Illinois team is dangerous. This Illinois team can play defense. It's on their home court. And, again, IU, I think, has its work cut out for them in this big challenge tonight.
Yeah, it should be a lot different, I would think, than the first matchup between the two teams. It almost feels like that was a different season based on what's happened since then. You know, Illinois really kind of figured things out over its last 12 games. I think it's 7-5 in Indiana with all of its losing streaks. Just a kind of a different feeling going into this matchup. But Indiana has won this last two games and has given itself a chance. If they can go in tonight and win and beat Rutgers on Sunday, they will go into the Big Ten tournament with quite a bit of momentum and a chance to make the NCAA tournament, which I think, you know, a week and a half ago, if we would have had that conversation, people would have laughed at us. So this has been a crazy season, and tonight I'm expecting up and down game. Indiana's going to have to take care of the ball, obviously, to give itself a chance to win, but definitely a winnable game. But it's also one where, you know, if Indiana's not able to pull it out, get into the situation where they're probably going to have to win the Big Ten tournament in order to make the tournament.
Alex, let me ask you, a young team for IU, a lot of the players they really count on game in and game out, very young. When you come to them and you say, guys, there's no margin for error. You've got to win every game. You've got to win tonight on the road. What kind of mental problems could that cause a young team in this situation that has been on that roller coaster ride of starting off great, having a down period with a losing streak, and now appearing to come back and playing very good?
Yeah, I'm not even sure if you bring that up because of kind of how they've responded since this Minnesota game. It seems like in terms of their frame of mind and mentally, they're still pretty locked in and engaged. I mean, even the two games before these two that they won, they, you know, competed, played hard. So I think they realize that kind of what's at stake. And if they don't, then the coaching staff needs to realize, if there's a certain player who's not locked into the situation, that guy doesn't need to be on the court. But, I mean, these guys aren't living in a bubble. They know what's being said. They know kind of the situation that they're in with what they've done all season. That, you know, there is no margin for error. So I don't know that necessarily as a coach you approach it as, hey, guys, you know, we can't make any mistakes. We can't lose this game. You have to look at it and say, you know, if we bring the intensity and the energy that we brought the last four games, we give ourselves a pretty good chance to win. I think that's how you have to approach it. And you can't look ahead past this game. We can, obviously. We're talking about it. We're not playing in the game. But if you get into a situation where you say, well, we got to win this one and you got to win Sunday, then we probably got to win one in the Big Ten tournament, you just got to focus on what's right ahead. And what's right ahead is, you know, coming out and trying to win every segment of the game against Illinois. And if you have a bad start, you can't let it compound. You know, there's going to be ups and downs in any game. Illinois is a team that's hard to play against because of, you know, the style of play. You know, they force their defense is basically predicated on forcing turnovers. If you don't turn the ball over, you're going to get good shots against Illinois. That's pretty much how it's gone all season. In the first game these two teams played, Indiana was actually the one that forced Illinois into a ton of turnovers. So if you can get into a situation where you're kind of flipping their major strengths and using it to your advantage, that's, to me, the way you're going to win this game if you're IU. And it's a different Indiana team than the one that played them the first time, in that, you know, Rob Fennessy is obviously available and playing to me as well as he has all season, going back to, you know, that stretch where he hit the shot in the Butler game. That was, to me, he was playing really well, and him going out obviously hurt Indiana, but he's, to me, back to that level of play, just been terrific on both ends. And obviously having Deron Davis, who wasn't healthy last game against Michigan State. It sounds like he's been full go in practice, getting over some illness, and he wasn't really a factor in the first Illinois game. So Indiana's got more pieces available, and I think they're going to need every last one of them if they want to go on the road and win this game.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest. You know, with Robert Fennessy out, I believe that caused Romeo to have the ball in his hands more. I talked some in the first segment about Romeo's big game against Illinois back in early January in Bloomington. Do you think tonight is that different for Romeo? I mean, there's so much from the fans, and I even see it at times. You wish Romeo would have the ball in his hands more. You've seen him over the years. You know what he can do. With Rob back in the lineup, handling the point guard role basically all to himself, do you think tonight we still see Romeo getting those opportunities early in possessions, maybe up top to get the basketball because of the success he had in that first game, or is this back to offense as usual against Illinois with Rob Fennessy and others available for the game?
I mean, I think it's going to have to be a little bit of everything. You don't want to put Romeo in a position where he's having to do everything. I think the most encouraging thing coming out of the last game for Indiana, and something that they could potentially build upon if they are going to get a run going here late in the season, is they won that game without Juwan or Romeo scoring in double figures. We've talked about all season how important it's been for, it's going to be for other guys to step up and make plays. And we saw Justin Smith. And I don't obviously think you can expect Justin Smith to do that every game, but they won that Michigan State game because of other guys making contributions. And I think if Indiana gets back to becoming too reliant on Romeo or Juwan, I think that's kind of when they play into the opposition's hands to an extent, because at that point they become pretty predictable to guard, and that's what we've seen kind of all season. So I think you got to pick your spots with how you're going to use Romeo against this pressure. I mean, he's going to play a ton of minutes. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He's been playing 36, 37, 38 minutes every game, and I don't think you want him bringing the ball up or having the ball in his hands every possession, because down the stretch, if it's a close game, you need him ready to make plays, and you don't want to put too much wear and tear on him throughout the game. So I think there's a balance to be struck. I mean, I think ideally you want to try to get him 12 to 15 shots, but I think you have to have Rob Fennessy and Devontae Green play well too against this pressure, even Al Durham, because if you have a couple of guys out there that can't beat the pressure and they're turning the ball over, that's just a recipe for disaster, especially against a team that likes to turn you over and then go the other way quickly. Things can get going in the wrong direction pretty quickly. So, I think Romeo's going to have his opportunities. I think they're going to obviously try to get him as many shots as possible, but at the same time, I don't think you want to become too reliant on one or two guys, because, that's what Indiana's done for a majority of the season, and it hasn't always been successful. I think they're a better team when they're a little bit more balanced.
In playing Illinois, are they playing a team that really isn't playing for much of anything here at the end of the season, except maybe to upset the apple cart when it comes to IU, maybe ruining IU season here at the end, or is there something else that they're playing for, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, they're obviously playing for something, because at one point this season they were 4-12 overall and 0-5 in the Big Ten, and they have been able to kind of turn things around. As I mentioned, they're 7-5 in the last 12. So, I mean, they've got young guys. I think more than anything else, they're playing to kind of establish, what they want to be going forward. They got the young freshman big guy. I know his first name is Georgie, but I don't want to mispronounce his last name. I'm not even going to try to attempt that. And obviously, Trent Frazier is a really good sophomore guard, and they've got the other freshman guard, Io Desunmu, that could go pro, but I think more than anything else, it's a coach who inherited not a great situation and is finally kind of getting things turned in the right direction. So I think in their situation, what they're playing for is just to kind of build some momentum going into the offseason, next season. It's very unlikely that they're going to make the postseason of any kind. Their record overall is just too bad for them to probably even have a chance to make the NIT, depending on kind of what happens the rest of the way. But I mean, credit to Brad Underwood. It's not an easy situation to be in, to have your team at 4-12 and 0-5 and be able to kind of turn it to be 7-11 now in the Big Ten, which is objectively probably the best league in the country right now. So they obviously have something to play for, and I think it's pride and just kind of build a culture to kind of take that into the future the next couple of years. I think Illinois, to me at least, looks like a program on the rise.
Alex, you probably have a better grasp of the standings of the conference and the tournament bracket for the conference coming up next week in Chicago than we do. What does it take for Indiana to get out of that first day of play into basically a first round bye and play on day two? Is it a win tonight? Do you have a scenario there that Indiana can get to that second round without playing in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward at this point in that, you know, if Indiana obviously wins their two remaining games, they're definitely avoiding Wednesday. Now, if they lose tonight, you know, there's a tournament bracket generator that you can access online. I've got that pulled up right now. But if they lose tonight, but they beat Rutgers, it looks like to me that they would be the 10 seed at that point. They would beat out Rutgers and Penn State because of some tiebreakers. In that scenario, they would probably be the 10 seed. Now, if they lose their last two games, there's a good chance they would play on Wednesday. So I think most important, you know, win two games and you avoid Wednesday for sure. Win one and you're likely to avoid it, depending on kind of what Penn State and Illinois do in their last game, I think. But overall, you know, I think the only way to ensure that you're playing for sure on Thursday is to at least win one of these two games, and you probably want to win both.
Alex, let me ask you, as you look at it right now with a lot of unknowns and questions, how many teams does it look like from the Big Ten are going to make it into the NCAA tournament, if you had to guess today?
Big Ten teams making
yes.
it?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, the ones that are in lock category are obviously Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue, Wisconsin, Maryland, Iowa. That's six. Minnesota, I think, has to feel pretty good. Ohio State is on a little bit more shaky ground to me, in that they're 18-12 right now, 8-11 overall. They just lost to Northwestern, and they got Wisconsin at home on Sunday. If they don't win that game, you're talking about 18-13 and 8-12 going to the Big Ten tournament, lose the first Big Ten tournament game. I think they're probably on the outside looking in. You know, really the only teams that have a chance outside of those six to make it as an at-large, in my opinion, at this point are Minnesota, Ohio State, who are probably in at this point, and then Indiana with an outside shot, kind of depending on what they do the rest of the way. The other teams are not really in any consideration, at least for an at-large bid. But if I had to say as of today, I would say there's a good chance that eight make it, but I would say at this point probably seven are locks, and then you know, I think Ohio State still has work to do, and Indiana obviously has a lot of work to do.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Indiana at Illinois tonight, 8 o'clock the tip-off, 7 o'clock pregame show. For Indiana tonight, obviously everyone knows what the stakes are, really not even tonight, but the rest of the way. You followed this team, Alex, as close as anyone that we talk to on this program each day from an IU perspective. With what you've seen from this team the last two, three, I guess maybe four games, how confident are you that this is a team that can get a road win tonight? How confident are you that this is a team that can beat Illinois and continue the type of effort level, the type of play that they've had in recent games, and not dip back in to some of the things and the shenanigans that we've seen earlier in this year, which cost them really a lot of games, I believe?
Yeah, I mean, the body of work suggests this is not a game they're going to win. They're 2-9 in true road games this year. You know, with the wins being narrowly escaping at Penn State early in December and then beating Michigan State. Beyond that, they've not won a road game. So, you know, in terms of looking at it objectively, I would say going in, it's not a game that I would think that I would predict that they'll win. With that said, I think it is probably one of those games where it's maybe 40% chance to win, 60% chance not to win, just based on, you know, Illinois is not a great team by any means. They've been pretty good at home, but they have had their lapses, and they're definitely a team that Indiana has proven they can beat. And you know, if they play like they did at the Iowa game on the road, they definitely give themselves a chance to win. But there's just been too many performances over the year, course of the season, where you look at and you say, you know, this team didn't really particularly play well in a tough environment. And I think tonight, you know, Illinois is not going to have a great crowd, but I think it will be a bit of a hostile environment. There's a lot of pressure on the game. So, you know, I don't think, you know, I'm not going into it as thinking it's a game Indiana is going to win. That said, I think it's one, if they play well, and I don't even say they have to play great, but if, you know, if they don't turn the ball over, you know, an insane amount of times, I think they're going to be right in there with a chance to win. But They've played so many close games lately, it could come down to just who's able to make plays late in the game and whether or not they can make enough shots, particularly from the perimeter and from the free throw line. I think those are two keys, along with taking care of the ball.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. You can follow Alex at Inside the Hall on Twitter and, of course, InsideTheHall.com. Lots of great coverage on IU basketball. And, of course, we're in March. This is March Madness and the Big Ten Tournament getting ready to get underway next week. A couple big games the rest of the way for this IU team. Alex, thanks for the chat. We will talk with you very soon. And going to be really interesting to follow this IU team down the stretch.
Absolutely. Have a great day, guys.
All right, Alex Bozich with us here on the Hoosier Report. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Lee and I will take a look at some of the big high school basketball games set for this weekend, including a look at all the area regionals. Jeffersonville at Seymour in that regional. Silver Creek is at Southridge and Huntingburg, that regional. We'll take a look at some others as well. And also recap the sectionals, give you our player of the week. We'll take a look at everything coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment of this Thursday program. Great time of year for basketball. High schools heading into regionals on Saturday to win those regionals. Two games in one day if you want to come out and head to the Semi-State the following weekend. Lee Kelly is with me. Lee, some great potential. Well, let me say it this way. Some great matchups this weekend, but also some great potential matchups as well if things shake out for the night games on Saturday, those regional championships.
Yeah, and as we get into this tournament, the surprises just keep rolling along. All we have to do is call up Greensburg and ask them. They went into the sectional as the favorite, had a great record. I think one loss on the season maybe, and got beat. You just never know, and that's what, to me, makes this such a special time of the year in high school sports.
Yeah, absolutely. Seymour was crazy. I know you were there as well over the weekend. That Friday night crowd and that reaction to that final shot, just an amazing moment. Of course, if you're New Albany, you're celebrating and happy. If you're Floyd Central, you're really in disbelief that the season has come to an end. And that kind of goes along with what you said about Greensburg. It's that time of year where you just don't know what can happen. And I think that if you look across the area this time of year, and this year specifically, there really have been surprises at many, many places. Now, not in 3A with Silver Creek, no real surprise there. With the Dragons coming out and moving forward. But a lot of other places, 1A, 4As, both surprises there, even 2A, maybe not a surprise in the final result, but throughout the week there were a couple surprises. So a great time of year. And let's take a look at some of those big performances from sectional week that have made our radar here today.
Jacob Jones, if we look at Jeffersonville, he was on fire in the semifinals and finals last Friday. Against Bedford North Lawrence, he had 21 to lead the Red Devils. Trey Coleman had 11, and Darren Starks also chipped in with 11. In the championship game on Saturday, Jacob Jones came back with 19 points. Darren Starks, 14. Trey Coleman, 12. Red Devils won their first sectional title since 2013, knocking off New Albany in the championship.
New Albany avenged an early season loss to Floyd Central. The final score in that thriller was 39-36 for the Bulldogs. Derek Stevenson had 19 points, a huge second half, which included a three-pointer at the buzzer for the final margin. New Albany not going to regional after losing to Jeff in the sectional championship game the next night for the first time in 6 years. In that loss to Jeff on Saturday, Stevenson again led New Albany with 14 points. Jordan Thomas also with 14 points in that game as well to lead New Albany in the loss.
The Floyd Central Highlanders watched in disbelief as Stevenson's shot went through the net, bringing an outstanding season to an end. They had a great year. Kobe Barnes, Jake Hyde-Breeder each scored 12 to lead FC.
Silver Creek knocked off rival Brownstown to avenge an earlier loss in regular season play on Friday in the semifinals at Charlestown. In that game, Trey Kaufman had 15 points. He was sick, I found out later, but still able to score 15 points in a big game against Brownstown. Cooper Jacoby, 14 points. Zane Gross had 10. Then on Saturday, the Dragons had no problems with Corden. They cruised past the Panthers. Four scored in double figures in that championship game. Jack Hawkins, 20 points. Cooper Jacoby, 18 points. Zane Gross, 15. Trey Kaufman with 11. Silver Creek playing well on all accounts, ready for the regional this weekend.
And different names popping up in that scoring column for Silver Creek, helping them win games. Christian Academy knocked off Borden in the Friday semifinals. For Christian Academy, Bailey Conrad had 17, Kevin Ballou 10. For Borden, Sterling Michael had 14, Jacob Robinson 10 for the Braves. Saturday, Christian Academy lost a heartbreaker to Lanesville, 64-62. Bailey Conrad had 31 of the 62 CAI points. TJ Proctor chipped in with 17.
And Providence, their season came to an end Friday as they became Paoli's 22nd victim of the year. Paoli has had a terrific year. The Pioneers were led by Hayden Burke. He had 22 points in that contest. Paoli, of course, went on to win the sectional, and they move on to a regional, which they get to host at their place, which is a nice treat, especially in the postseason. Lee, player of the week this week. This guy was fantastic on Friday night against Bedford and almost equally as good Saturday night against New Albany in the Seymour sectional. This guy may not always be recognized as the biggest college prospect on the roster, or at times even the best player on the roster, but he is someone that if he's going and he's going at full speed, he's awful tough to stop.
Yeah, and Coach Luce mentioned that earlier in the season, as Jacob Jones goes, so go the Red Devils. I really didn't understand that till I saw them in the sectional. I understand completely now what the coach was saying.
He had 40 points in the semifinals and finals combined. A great weekend for Jones, a big, big weekend for the Red Devils. They are playing some really good basketball, and I think I feel comfortable saying this as we get ready to tell you a little bit more about the regional pairings here now. If Jacob Jones goes Saturday against Bloomington South, the Red Devils are going to get to that championship game and maybe beyond at Seymour.
Yeah, I agree. I would almost make Jeff the favorite in that regional just the way they're playing right now. Let's take a look at that 4A at Seymour. 10 a.m. Saturday morning, Jasper and Center Grove, and then at noon, Bloomington South and Jeffersonville.
Does Jasper hold the ball against Center Grove? The last couple teams against Center Grove have tried to. In fact, I talked to one of their assistant coaches last night, and he said, you know, really, we haven't played basketball, regular basketball, in 3 weeks because everybody's been in this thing. We're going to hold the ball against Center Grove. And it's almost worked a couple times. That's probably the scary part if you're Center Grove. But Jasper, a team that had suffered some bad defeats this season, but other times played pretty well. It'll be really interesting to see what they do against Trace Jackson Davis and Center Grove. Do they try to hold the ball? If I'm a betting man, I think that they do. Also, Jeff and Bloomington South. South is 23-3. Jeff is 19-5. You mentioned how well Jeff is playing right now. I think that will be an absolute terrific game. I could see that being a back-and-forth game and go either way. Maybe give the nod to Jeff right now with how well they're playing, but Bloomington South's going to come out. They may be a little methodical with the ball. They've got some multiple scoring options. I think that could be a thrilling game. Also, 3A at Southridge, that's where the Dragons are at. And I know Brandon Hoffman probably doesn't like some of the things that I've said this week, because it is a tough regional. I understand Princeton is kind of a sleeper. Really hard to be a sleeper when your record is 20-5, but a very good team. They play Batesville in the first game, followed by Evansville Memorial, and, of course, Silver Creek. But Silver Creek is the favorite in that regional. I don't think there's any way around it. The Dragons have got to the regional. They've got to the regional championship game before. They've become old veterans in postseason success, winning a number of sectionals, I think 5 and 6 years. Can they take that next step forward this weekend?
I think they should. Now, whether they can or not, we're dealing with high school teenagers, and I think there's a great unknown there. But I think the Dragons have it all. They have multiple players that can lead them at both ends of the court. I think it's going to be a great weekend for Silver Creek.
2A at Paoli. Linton Stockton is at Paoli, against Paoli, on their home floor Saturday in the first game. Southwestern Hanover, who, don't forget, defeated Jeffersonville fairly handily earlier in the year. Ranked number one in 2A basketball, they take on Tell City. Let's take a moment. Go Tell City.
Go Marksman.
Go Matt Lynch, one of my great friends, former New Albany assistant, former New Albany player, great young head coach. This guy's going places, and he's got Tell City in the regional for the first time in how many years?
Since 93, I think. Okay. Whatever that works. I think it's 93.
So it's been a long time. And he's,
more importantly, they had 8 losing seasons in a row. Matt, this is his 3rd winning season in a row. He's been there 3 years.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. 1A is at Lagodi. Lanesville, with their upset bid over Christian Academy, they get a little bit of a gift. And I say it's a gift. Of course, who knows what can happen in postseason basketball. But Lanesville's 14-11. They take on West Washington, who won their sectional with a 10-win, 15-loss record. That's the first game. Then Evansville Day, 11 wins, 11 losses. Another very surprising record for a regional round. They're going to take on Barre Reeve, who is the favorite in that regional at 23-2. A great day of games. Regional, you get that added drama, because what's going to happen between games? Can a team win one and sustain the energy for the night game? A lot of interesting things to follow. Regional Saturday, one of my favorite days of the year. Really, regional and semi-state and state finals, really three special, special Saturdays, in my opinion. And I think we're in for some really good games, really good potential matchups for championships on Saturday night as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time watching how these scores roll in and who makes it to the one-game semi-state next week. Fun time.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly in studio with me on this Thursday. As always, thank you. Enjoy the Illinois game tonight, the IU-Illinois game. Try not to throw anything at the TV if Romeo doesn't get the ball.
No guarantees.
And we'll be back with you tomorrow. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Joining me on our Friday program tomorrow, we'll have Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll recap whatever happens tonight with the IU game. Also, Paul Neidig, he's the assistant commissioner for the IHSA. He's actually in charge of boys basketball in the state tournament. He's going to be with us later in the program Friday as well. So a great show lined up. We hope you'll join us right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, 11 o'clock, and, of course, the replay most days at 3 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio.